save you a lot, too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs, too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
A semi-truck carrying lumber crashed on Interstate 70 in Colorado, killing several people and damaging more than two dozen cars. Authorities are continuing to investigate the accident. Ty Countryman is with the Lakewood Police Department. He says they're confident about putting the suspect behind bars.
We feel at this time we have enough probable cause to charge the vehicular homicide.
Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein was speaking in New York City Thursday night. He was discussing the criticism he's endured during Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation.
I saw one of these professional provocateurs at a holiday party. He approached me very politely. He said, I'm sorry I'm making your life miserable. And I said, you do your job and I'll do mine. His job is to entertain and motivate partisans so he can keep making money. My job is to enforce the law in a nonpartisan way. That is the whole point of the oath that so many of us have taken.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now playing Breakthrough, starring Chrissy Metz.
Boys, get off the ice!
She's been underwater for 15 minutes.
The odds were against her son.
He's had no pulse for over an hour.
Until his mother's prayer.
Please send her the spirit to save my son.
Proved the impossible.
We've got a pulse!
Now.
I don't believe John will survive the night.
Discover the incredible true story.
You don't know my son.
Of an extraordinary miracle.
He is a fighter.
Breakthrough. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. For tickets, go to breakthroughmovie.com.
President Trump and leading Democratic presidential candidates seem to agree on one thing. Something needs to be done to alleviate the nation's $1.5 trillion student loan crisis. One thing both sides will agree upon is right now the system is broke and needs to be fixed. Jill Schlesinger is a CBS News business analyst. She joined CBS this morning and has some tips for you regarding student loans.
First of all, these letters are really confusing because there is no uniform way that colleges and universities have to report to families about what is loan, what is grant, what is scholarship. So when you get that letter, be very careful. Families are often confusing loans and grants. That's number one. Number two, when you look at that letter, no, it's for 1 year only. Mm-hmm. So that first year, a lot of families presume this will be the next 2 years, 3 years. And you know what? It doesn't necessarily mean that's the case. Mm-hmm. And also understand there's a difference between a federal direct subsidized and unsubsidized loan. Subsidized loan means that when the money is dispersed, they wait to start the interest calculation until you graduate. An unsubsidized loan, that clock starts ticking as soon as the money is dispersed. Hey, parents, those PLUS loans, those are ticking away too, whether your kid graduates or not.
And as far as finding out the interest rate on those loans, Schlesinger says good luck. You have to read the fine print. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Well, and good day, good afternoon, sports guys. At this point, there's one of us, and I'm sure that Bill will be joining me shortly. John won't be here today. He's undergoing some eye surgery, so our thoughts go out to him, and hopefully this is an easy procedure. And I know that I won't be here next week unless you want me to report from the Dominican Republic. I'm going to rely on Bill, and hopefully John. I'm not sure John will be back, but in any event, by next week we'll know and we'll have all the results from the draft. I hope Bill will join me. We're going to talk about the weather here in New Jersey, and of course we'll talk about the 2019 NFL draft, which is going on in Nashville. It would be interesting sometime, I think, to go to the draft to see what's going on. And certainly I remember one young man a number of years ago who sat around in the, I guess they call it the green room, and waited and waited and waited. And, of course, he's now one of the, I think, you know, best quarterbacks, I guess, and I'm not talking about Tom Brady. He even waited much longer. And but I think both of these quarterbacks had something to prove, both Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. And I'm certainly hoping that Aaron will have some people around him this year. We'll talk more about that. Excuse me. But what about the weather today? Well, they said it was only a 40% chance of scattered showers. Frankly, north of Flemington, we had some huge downpours today. Then it would let up, and then it would start again. So let's forget about this afternoon. They said a high of 67 degrees. It certainly felt a lot colder out there. By tonight, guess what? More rain, 90% chance of heavy rain, and then scattered showers. Low tonight, not bad, only about 46 degrees. By tomorrow, mostly sunny, which is something we always look forward to, especially on the weekends, and 58 degrees. So tomorrow should really be a nice day. Not sure that it'll dry up all of this rain, but at least it will be the day of the weekend to get outside. By tomorrow night, partly cloudy, and then on Sunday, there's a 50% chance of showers, and then possibly, you know, even, well, depends on whether or not it rains. Again, on Sunday, there's a chance of showers after 9 o'clock in the morning, mostly high with a near 60 degrees, not much wind. Again, as I said, chance of precipitation, good word for rain, but precipitation can be more than just rain. In any event, low of about Sunday night, low of about 37 degrees. So let's keep our plants inside for another week or two. By Monday, hopefully, if you can take the day off, that's going to be the best day, sunny on Monday. And I'm not sure we can usually predict any farther than that. I don't think so, and sometimes not even that far. So that's the weather. We'll be back after, I think I'll play a couple spots. Hopefully Bill will be here. If not, you'll have to hear me drone on about the draft.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Well, hi, Bill. It's Sports Guys. I've already announced that John won't be with us today because he's having some, hopefully, what is minor surgery. And, of course, my first question to you, because I'm sitting here falling asleep, is did you watch the draft last night?
No, I did not. Instead, I did something incredibly foolish. I worked last night. I had to go on a condominium association meeting.
All right, let's forget. Forget. Let's not. That's not interesting.
Too much these days.
All right. Well, it's very interesting. Well, what was interesting is, like the number three, Quinnen Williams out of Alabama was a very interesting pick. Now, number four, the Oakland Raiders got defensive end Cleland Farrell. He was from Clemson. Now, he was the 2018 defensive player. I think he was the 2018 defensive player of the year. Apparently a great edge rusher. Now, tell me, how would you define an edge rusher?
I'm not even sure I know what an edge rusher is. I must be completely honest.
No, it was something that, surprised me. It's not a term that I usually hear either, but that was how they described him. Now, Tampa Bay Buccaneers were fifth. Their pick was Devin White. Now, of course, I'm always more interested in what's happening in, you know, my area of the woods. And our Green Bay, unfortunately, they had a number 12 pick, and that was because of their, what I consider their abysmal record last year. They finished third, of course, in the NFC North with a 6-9-1 record. Really very mediocre. So what was interesting about, I thought the Detroit Lions got a guy that should make a huge difference for their team. They got T.J. Hockerson from Iowa. And from what I've heard, he was really underrated. I don't think that anyone thought he might go that high. But he's really dominant in the run. And I don't know if you've ever seen any of his, you know, they always spotlight some of the plays. And, you know, I know from Iowa because, they, of course, they play against Wisconsin. And so I'm somewhat familiar with him. Not that familiar. But I think he should be a really good add on for the Lions. Then what was interesting, however, number 10, Denver had the 10th pick, and they traded, or I should say the Steelers traded up to take that pick from Denver. And they gave up a second-round pick and some other things. But they took the linebacker, Devin Bush. I actually thought that the Packers might be their first pick because they had the number 12 pick. But what was interesting, remember the old Steeler, Mean Joe Green?
Mean Joe Green.
He was the one who announced it. And for anyone who doesn't know him, back in the late 70s, he was actually the 1979 Walter Payton Hall winner. And, of course, he's in the Hall of Fame. And it was just rather interesting. And the other thing that seemed to have happened is they knew that he was going to announce. But they didn't realize, I think that this trade-up was done at the last minute because, of course, I'm not sure where the Pittsburgh Steelers were in the lineup, but they certainly weren't 10. And it seems like they played a couple commercials so they could find the old mean Joe Green. And I remember back in the 70s when he was playing, I was always happy to that the Steelers didn't play the Packers. I mean, it would be very rare that the Steelers would play the Packers because do you have any memories of him? I mean, he was really...
I thought Mean Joe Green was a tremendous defensive player, very talented guy, quick, all the things they look for in a linebacker or defensive lineman, and very, very smart. He once gave a talk about the Russian technique and watching the quarterback's eyes and watching the hand and hip for the guy that was supposed to block the protected quarterback and trying to figure out how to read the play from there. And I always liked these little tweaks that the especially talented football players use to capitalize on their talent and get to the next level. Because somebody who we had on this show, sports psychologist, said, talent's overrated. It's what you do with it.
Well, that's true. But the other thing, and I guess they've never thought that defensive players needed to be that intelligent, but you know there really is that component. As you said, a good defensive player reads the quarterback, and you know it's always so interesting when we see on the field those mix-ups when you know they're just not covering where they should cover.
It's interesting. In watching a couple of Packer games this season, and also last season, I noticed that someone like Clay Matthews, tremendous defensive player, very talented, big guy, seemed, if you watched where his head was and where he was looking before the ball was snapped, you can't really see his face.
Right. Mm-hmm. Good point.
I got the sense that he hasn't made up his mind what he needs to do yet because he had that 5 to 7 yards and he wanted to see what the play as you know, you can't watch everything. So sometimes Monday nights they break down the games, and yeah, so it's all about a video game kind of thing. And when you watch where some of these guys are looking or how they're positioning themselves and what they do with the first step or two as the defense reacts, it seems to me that there was a real difference, not too much in talent, but in football smarts.
Well, talking about Clay Matthews, you know where he's going to, what we probably assume, end his career, where he's going to be playing? No, he's out. He's going to be playing with the Raiders. Nope. He's, you know, I don't know. I can't remember if he was a free agent. I think that must have been the situation. So he's basically going back home because didn't he play for USC in college?
I thought so.
Either USC or UCLA.
The Raiders are heading to Las Vegas.
Right.
This year.
Right. And
either this year or 2020.
Well, probably 2020. And I suppose, you know, if he thinks he has two more years, and hopefully then he'll come back and retire as a Packer. You know, I think Jordy Nelson, I'm assuming that Jordy's coming back. I haven't heard definitely, but he'd come back and retire as a Packer. But let me ask you another trivia question. The Packers this year have two first-round picks. Do you know who the last time the Packers had two first-round picks, who their picks were?
I'm going to take a wild stab. And one was Aaron Rodgers.
Nope. Actually, it was Clay Matthews and DJ Raji.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they got two really talented guys. And so this year they're number 12. This year they have two first-round picks, the number 12 and number 30. And as I said, the last time they had two first-round picks, it was DJ Raji and Clay Matthews. Let's hope these guys who are coming in this year are as good. But they got a linebacker, Rashawn Gary, from Michigan. But he comes out of New Jersey. He's a New Jersey kid. And I didn't know much about him. I really thought that they'd be looking to Devin Bush, again, from Michigan. And but because of that trade-up, the Pittsburgh Steelers took him at number 10. So I don't know if the Packers were scrambling, probably. You know, if they weren't, but anyway, Rashawn, according to some people, their pick is given a grade a B, and so apparently the consensus is that he has a ton of talent, but he did not produce much at Michigan.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing.
Yeah, but that's high.
Well,
I understand, but this is the first round, and this was the Packers' first pick.
Well, you know, it's perplexing because you never really see what it is, the business of the people who work for the team and make the selection. Say, everybody thought that the Giants were going to trade up to Josh Rosen and with the Cardinals and trade a pick. That didn't then many people thought they were going to be Giants would pick up Josh Allen, a good pass rusher. And what they did was had a number six pick on Thursday night. They picked a quarterback, by the name of Daniel Jones, and hopefully he'll turn into someone good for them. And you know, you never really know. But sports radio this morning out of New York was all filled. About the selection and saying, what were the Giants thinking? What were Dave Gettleman thinking? And
why?
Because although
And where did he play?
So I'm trying to find that out because I thought he played in the Midwest.
Well, while you're thinking of that.
Pardon me, he played at Duke.
At Duke, yeah, I was going to say. I didn't think he.
Full program. You know, is he going to be another Eli Manning? I don't know. Dave Gettleman certainly is on the spot. Eli Manning's got 1 or 2 years left, I think. And, they did trade for Manning on draft day in 2004 and their two Super Bowls and that nailed down a.
Well, where did Manning didn't want to play? Where Manning wasn't willing to
Manning
play somewhere.
Play on the West Coast. You may remember that.
Yeah, I know that they thought he would go to another team and he said he wouldn't play.
Yeah.
And what's the deal? I think if they. They won't go to the team that's drafted them. Don't they have to sit out for a year?
No, he didn't sit out.
No, I know he didn't. But let's assume that someone says, I'm not playing for that team, and they don't trade him.
I think you have to sit out a year.
That's what I thought. I thought you have to sit out for a year unless they're willing to trade. And, of course, if they do trade, they're not going to trade anyone to someone else in their conference.
I liked
Donovan McNabb. I thought not surprisingly, I don't think that the team treated him that well, and I certainly didn't think the fans treated him that well.
And Ricky Williams ended up, I think, in New Orleans. Didn't really produce there as everybody had hoped, as talented as he was. He had some personal problems, and for a while he left football and ended up in Australia. Eventually came back to the U.S. and then went to the Canadian Football League for a while, where I think he played for the Saskatchewan Blue Bombers or the British Columbia Lions, where he had a decent late career. I was very surprised that the Eagles went for McNabb and Ricky Williams myself, because I thought Williams was a good running back.
Well, and the one thing that the Packers traditionally were known to do is take the next best person available for the draft. That's how they got Aaron Rodgers, because remember, they did not need a quarterback when they drafted Rodgers.
Well, they had Brett Favre.
They had Brett Favre. Everybody thought Rodgers would go much sooner in the draft. I don't know if you remember, but I do remember that, where he sat in the green room and sat and sat and sat. Now, not like Tom Brady, of course, but, he was very disappointed with his, I'm not sure he was disappointed going to the Packers, but he certainly thought he would go a lot sooner. Now, the interesting thing, and I would like to understand the thinking of Rashawn Gary, apparently Mike Pettitte is going to take it, and of course, some of the coaches wouldn't know what to make of a kid with talent but not much production. Apparently, Mike Pettitte is willing to do it. And I think the one thing we've learned is that he believes in aggressive, destructive defensive play. And, you know, he doesn't worry about the gaps and the missed assignments. His front seven players, particularly along the D-line, are instructed to kick the snot out of the man in front of them. So, I mean, that's his, you know, that old aggressive football that we're used to seeing from the Packers and the Steelers. And I don't mean the nasty kind that we see out of the out of your Philadelphia team. But it is worth noting that some of the young other defensive linemen in Green Bay have developed, you know, pretty well.
Remember, the quarterback and the running back and the receiver selections are always, I call them the risky ones, because they're the ones that are hands with the ball. They're usually providing the leadership on the team. But if you like defensive football as much as I do, I think defensive players, with the exception of a guy like a Reggie White, are unsung heroes. You know, and it's interesting, Pat, we have to break for commercials because it is 6:30.
I guess we do. I hope it's not 6:30.
Another guy the Giants drafted.
Okay.
Daniel Jones.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, not Daniel Jones. It's been a long night. DeAndre Baker from Georgia, quarterback, and Dexter Lawrence.
Wait a minute. Wait, they didn't get three draft picks.
Yeah, they did.
They got three. Oh, that's right. They got three first round, and I think we should talk about that because that is really unusual. And boy, they better have done a good job of that. And we'll be back after playing a few spots from our sponsors, and we'll talk about the Giants. And too bad John isn't here because he would certainly have a lot to add, and hopefully you're recovering from your surgery and listening to us struggle without you.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, Bill, we're back, and why don't we talk about John's favorite team? How do you think that they fared?
I think they did pretty well. They took Dexter Lawrence, a big defensive tackle from Clemson, and got some stuff to run, but really not a player who can...
Now, what pick was that?
...address the pass rush help I think they need.
What was that?
One of the draft picks the Giants got back when they traded Odell Beckham Jr. John to the Browns. And Dave Gettleman also made another trade to get a third pick in the first round. He moved up to number 30 and took DeAndre Baker from Georgia, who's a cornerback. They're the first cornerback to come off the board. So Giants paid a price. They gave Seattle their second-round pick, which would be number 37, a fourth-round pick, number 136.
So wait, the Giants... So the Giants traded up for three picks.
They traded up
for What was their original pick?
That's a good question. I think in the first round they were number 6, and the second round they were number 6.
Well, they haven't done the second round yet.
No, but they in the second round. They
yeah, I think they were.
Round pick, which were they were also number 6 in the second round.
Okay.
For a guy who was at number 17 when they made the swap with the Browns.
Okay.
The Browns pick.
So they.
And I think the Giants did themselves a favor because what have they won with Odell Beckham? Nothing. I think the Giants are looking to build around whoever their next quarterback is.
Well, they picked Daniel Jones. Was there anything more you know about him? And what does that mean? Well, tell me, what's a 1 and 2 down stopper?
Okay, first down, second down, you're handing the ball to somebody to run.
Right.
You're running into a big fleshy wall with the guy they picked up. They traded Odell Beckham away when he was one of these picks. So I think they've been watching this guy for a while and targeting him because the Giants know that defense is going to have to keep the other teams close to the score because, as far as scoring, you've got an older, banged up, very experienced quarterback in Eli Manning. You've got Saquon Barkley, and then they're going to have to cultivate some receivers. They may be going to free agency for that.
Well, interestingly, do you think that they must think that Daniel Jones has, they don't expect him to be quarterback the first year, but they must expect him to be able to move into that position after a few years to take over for Eli. Is that the sense that, and maybe it's not been enough time to hear all of the pundits, but we usually hear about East Coast teams and their picks really quickly. I didn't have an opportunity to listen to anything. In fact, I ended up falling asleep before the end of the draft last night. But I haven't had an opportunity today to hear anything. I think it'll be very interesting. Over the weekend, we will hear more. And now I've forgotten. Do they do the draft again tonight, or do they wait until tomorrow?
I don't know, Pat. I don't really follow the NFL draft. A lot of other people do football.
Well, I think what happens is a lot of people who follow college ball, they're in a much better position than we are. They're obviously, I know some people who watch football all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and so they see these college kids playing, and they're in a much better position to really see, in fact, how it's going to translate, because some of the very good college players, you know, don't end up doing that well in the NFL. And that's why I thought the Rashawn Gary from Michigan, you know, who has been given only a B grade from at least one of the people that make these comparisons.
Well, you know, Philadelphia Eagles pick made an interesting pick, first round draft, because you're with Andre Dillard.
And what number did they have?
Andre Dillard is.
But what number pick did they have this year?
I know he was in their first round, but remember, the Eagles were pretty far
down. Yeah, they were.
Far down because they had a good season last year.
And what position does Andre play?
Tackle.
Oh, tackle.
Remember, he's basically there to keep Carson Wentz upright.
Yep.
That's just the way that I see this. And when I look at the Eagles,
well, that's what, you know, they have to, certainly every team, I mean, they have to, you know, protect Aaron Rodgers better. And, you know, my concern this year is I don't want the Packers to be in what we usually call a rebuilding year, because Aaron Rodgers, you know, this is his prime. He needs to get out there. And, I mean, this record last year, 6-9-1, I mean, that was ridiculous. Now, what about the Packer pick at 30? Do you know? I didn't stay up late enough to watch that and didn't have time to check today. Who did the Packers pick? Because their first round was number 12. Their first pick was number 12. Their second pick was number 30, and I mean, that certainly would be of interest. I didn't have a chance to even find out what anyone was saying about their second pick, but they did finish the first round last night, right? Okay. So who is number 30 as far as the Packers?
Let's see. The Packers in the first round, they picked 12.
Yeah, no, I know that. I know that for, I watched that.
And the 21st, because they got that pick from the Seahawks.
Oh, wait. So they did, and they picked the Packers of 21st? So they traded up?
Yeah, they got Rashawn Gary, who's a defensive.
No, that was number 12. That was their
right.
First pick. I watched
round,
that.
They were 12th to pick in the first round.
Yeah, and they also had number 30.
No, they had number 21.
Oh, so they traded up.
Yeah, they got them from the Seahawks. They took Darnell Savage, a safety from the University of Maryland. So, you know, he played well for the first.
What's his name? And so what did they do with their 30th pick then? Did they trade that?
No, they have it.
No, first round was 30. Pardon? They had two first round picks. They also had number 30.
21. I think they may have three.
So they must have.
Seahawks.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay. So what does it say about number 30? Anything?
Nothing.
Okay.
You know, I'm still trying to figure out, though, what an edge rusher is. I mean, Kyler Frackle emerged last year, so they did indeed let Jordan Matthews go, and they added Preston Smith by free agency. I think edge rusher is essentially a pass rusher. I don't know what they really felt they needed to do, but because I don't really follow the team. The interior line, I know they signed Billy Turner, a free agent from Denver, but you know, the O-line's inside.
So you're saying the Packers?
Rodgers a whole lot better because he took 49 sacks, but...
I know.
The poor guy was bouncing off the turf all the time. Frozen Thunder of Green Bay, and he were too intimately acquainted.
Absolutely. So... you know, of course, with a new coach, it's really hard to, you know, last year they had a new defensive coordinator, and you know, with the new coach, I don't, at this time of year, I don't hear that much coming from Green Bay as to, you know, what the strategy is. But you know, getting rid of Clay Matthews, I think they didn't want to pay him. Now I think they made a big mistake, of course, getting rid of Jordy Nelson a couple years ago, and he's coming back. Well, I know, and I think it has. Some people will say, well, he didn't do that well last year. Well, but he was with a new team. I think Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson, there was just some magic there.
Exactly. There's a lot of chemistry, and why the Packers gave that away.
But they've done the same thing. They did the same thing. It gave Donald Driver.
Yeah.
You know, I think Donald Driver, you know, another year, 2 years. I mean, there's something about some players that, you know, all right, maybe they're a little past their prime. They're still productive. And because of the fans and because of everything about the team. I mean, I don't know. I frankly didn't know how the Packers would fare after Donald Driver left.
Well, the one thing that I would say is they're wasting Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, that's what I've said. I mean, absolutely that's what I've said. And, you know, yes, they have Aaron under contract, but they have to do something with that.
Exactly.
And they have enough cap space that I think they could get the people that they need. And I think, frankly, the difference in what people don't recognize is that when Lombardi came to Green Bay, and even for a few years after that, no player wanted to play in Green Bay. Remember, they really did not. Coaches would threaten players that they were going to send them to Green Bay. Oh, seriously. Oh, absolutely. Coaches at one point, you know, if you don't, you know, shape up, we're going to send you to Green Bay. And, you know, it was just not the place to go. Lombardi, of course, turned it around. And I think also the other thing, and I know I've said this before, but I think it really, Lombardi was, I don't know if there are other coaches that would say the same thing, but Lombardi did not tolerate discrimination against his black players. And I think that he never gets enough credit for that. I don't know if a lot of people know about it, but he was, I think, one of the first to say, you know, we're not staying in a hotel that won't let all of our players stay. And he, you know, there were some pretty famous roommate, you know, together. I mean, of course, the town of Green Bay was probably a shock for most of the black players that came there. You know, it's an old mill town. Obviously, you know, there were not many African Americans, put it that way, in Green Bay. In fact, unlike other places, I have a feeling that a lot of people, even today, if you're in Green Bay and you see someone who is, you know, more than 5'10 and is African American male, you really look. Well, you look to see, because, you know, so many of them. Yeah, well, at least you'll look. And, you know, and people, of course, you know, love these guys. And, you know, the sense I have, now some of them don't live in Green Bay year-round the way they used to, but, you know, you'll see them in all of the local stores and, you know, the restaurants. And so Green Bay is still a small town. And that's one of the things that makes it interesting. We shall see about the coach. I think everybody is waiting to see what happens. I think they play their first game against the Bears in early September. I think the first, but I don't know. Do they have the, they don't have the schedule out yet, do they?
Well, they do. Oh.
The Jets. Yes, let's.
The Jets picked up a guy named Quinnen Williams with a number 3 pick in the draft.
I know that, and I saw him. Well, but you should see this guy.
They could have filled a long-standing need with a pass rusher because both Josh Allen and Clinton Farrell were still on the board, but they didn't.
Yeah, but you should see this guy. Well, and they were number 3.
Well, from a character standpoint, they like him. They feel good about him. And it's interesting because the Jets have used 10 of their last 11 first-round picks for defensive players. But at number 3, he went higher.
Yeah, he went.
Any other defensive player in Jets franchise history.
And he went higher than I think people thought. But if you saw this guy, I mean, it looked like literally a block of granite was walking onto the stage.
303 pounds. He's a big guy. He redshirted his first year at Alabama. And he hoped to get more playing time. He added some weight and switched to defensive tackle in 2018. And he learned his position quickly. So he's a smart guy. You know,
and he looked like this big teddy bear block of granite. I mean, it was. Now, let's talk a little bit about the first pick.
Well, he was the Jets' first pick.
No, he was the Jets' first pick, but yeah. The first pick went to. Who went to? Because I missed that first pick.
I can't remember. I think it was Tampa.
I missed. I saw the third pick. I missed the first and kind of came in at the end of the second when I was watching last night. But as I said, I thought I had, you know, I was trying to tape. We don't call it tape anymore, but what do? When you record, I tried to record it, and somehow it didn't happen. So I missed the first couple because it started at 8 o'clock last night. So who? Oh, the Cardinals had it?
He was a quarterback at Oklahoma. And he, you know, was kind of interesting. He was wearing a pink jacket. He told the ESPN he was getting pretty antsy. He didn't know what was going to happen. But the Cardinals picked Kyler Murray first because they already had Josh Rosen. They didn't really need a quarterback, but they got another one. But why does Cliff Kingsbury pick a second quarterback? Well, we've known him since 2012 when he started recruiting him out of high school.
But wow.
That means if the guy pans out, Josh Rosen is playing for somebody else.
Oh.
That doesn't sound like a vote of confidence to me. When you take the, when you're number one pick in the draft.
Well, quarterbacks usually go fast, but you're right. But on the other hand, if they really thought this guy had huge potential, they must have thought that if they would pick him. But quarterbacks usually, you know, go quickly. What's surprising, I think, was that, the third pick, the Jets picked a defensive, defensive tackle. Who picked two?
And, he created plays.
Williams.
Murray certainly did.
Oh, Murray. Okay. Yeah. And who did he play for?
Oh.
Because I don't know if I ever saw him play. Okay. Yeah, I did. I did see him.
Air raid offense. I'm not sure what that is, but I think that meant that he was throwing downfield a lot. The guy does have a great arm. Then he can go and make plays. I know Frisco went second overall pick. They took Nick Bosa, a defensive end of Ohio State, and another big guy.
And I watched him in a few games. He was really good.
Yeah, and you know, the interesting thing is the Niners have lost 11 one possession games over the last 2 years. So you know, they clearly had to make some improvement. They clearly had to figure out how they will approach next year. And you know, again, the same reason the Jets, what the Jets picked by Quinn Williams.
Right.
He said he was a great interior pass rusher.
No, and I mean he looks, Williams looks like he will come in and he'll be playing this year. Yeah. I mean he really does. I think that sometimes not everyone is ready, but at least looking at a couple times when I saw him play college ball. And he really looks like he could make a difference for the Jets. And the Lions, I also thought that this tight end, Harkerson, I think he, I am concerned as a Packer fan, you know, we have to play the play the Lions twice. We don't play the Jets. We play the Lions twice. And that is a concern of mine because I think Harkerson could make a significant difference, and I think he's also, you know, from what they say, underrated. And talking about underrated, we are going to be cut off momentarily. So
it is
6 o'clock.
It's 6 o'clock. Night. It's time for us to wish everybody to get up off that couch as soon as the rain ends, which I think might be late tomorrow afternoon.
And I guess somebody will be back here next week. Bill, I know we won't.
Care.
I won't, but you will.
Care for
so,
your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physician.
You're going to be here because I'm not, and we're already off.
Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.